right after that, we went up to Capitol Hill.
And you've been getting quite a bit of reaction from congressional people. Now, we're going to be showing some of that a little bit later on, but right now, what is the overall general feeling that you got?
Most of the people that I talked to were angry that they had not been forewarned, or at least that some of the congressional leaders had not been forewarned. They felt that that was really something that should have been done, that the president should not have taken the action that he did, without at least talking to leaders up on Capitol Hill. However, I did find a couple of people who were very much in favor of the president's decision to go into Iran, and they felt that he did exactly the right thing. They only wished it would have happened a little earlier.
At the time that you were talking to the folks there, had the Justice Department already issued its statement that Attorney General Civiletti had, in fact, sanctioned the action before two or three days ago, that he advised President Carter that he was within his authority to do that?
In talking to some of them, no, they had not had that information. In talking to others, yes, they had. And the people that were in favor felt that the president had not violated the War Powers Act were people who had indeed been told that the president had consulted the attorney general.
Was there any speculation as to how our allies might respond to this?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
A great deal of speculation about the about how our allies would feel, simply saying that they feel that they should have been forewarned, that they should have been told about it, that they came at a point when they were just agreeing to go along with the economic sanctions. They feel that this is really distrustful on the part of the president towards the allies and how they have responded so far. Other people, though, said that they really felt that the allies hadn't done anything anyway, and they hadn't really been all that cooperative, and that at this point in time, they at least had not volunteered to go in and help free our hostages.
Well, as I said, we will have a little bit later on in the program the actual statements from some of the congressional people that you talked to. Right now, let's go back to the studio and check it out.
All right, John and Jane, I wonder if you've picked up any open criticism yet, or discussions anyway, about the actual execution of the military mission. I know one of the questions being asked around here is why, if six helicopters were absolutely necessary for the success of that mission, did they start out with only eight?
Well, I can only assume. To answer your question specifically, Chuck, I have not heard any speculation about that. I read some things in the paper this afternoon. I can only assume that they felt that two extra ones was enough insurance. But I don't know.
Okay, John, thank you very much. The families of the hostages obviously are afraid their loved ones' lives might now be in terrible danger. David Diaz visited the mother of hostage Barry Rosen in Brooklyn. He found Sarah Rosen was shocked.
Since the last time I visited her, Mrs. Sarah Rosen had become more hopeful, more willing to accept the strategy of patience. Then came the news of the aborted rescue operation.
I was in complete shock. The whole thing was so outlandish and frightening.
As to why she thought the president had ordered the move at this time, Mrs. Rosen said she suspected politics was involved.
I'm angry. He had no business doing it that way. There are 53 lives in jeopardy.
And despite the president's ban on travel to Iran, Mrs. Rosen says she'd still like to go there and see her son if she could arrange it.
Just the thought of holding his hand, or him holding your hand, his mother's hand, or his wife's hand, or whoever is so close to him, and to have that feeling that somebody really loves me and thinks about me, and to comfort him.
In the course of many conversations with Mrs. Rosen, I've come to know firsthand the agony she lives with. I told her how much I hoped the next time I visited her, things would be different.
I hope your next time you come to visit me, it'll be on a much, much happier occasion, David. Much happier.
David Diaz, New Center 4 in Brooklyn.
As you know, the men who want the president's job have been critical of his Iranian policy, but today they supported Mr. Carter. Here's some comments from some of them.
In Tehran since Saturday.
We don't have that tape. I'm sorry about that. In the days ahead, obviously, the candidates may become more critical of the president, but as of now, they are mostly supporting him. They are saying that he should have done it, perhaps not agreeing exactly with the timing, but saying this is a time for unity in the United States and for rallying behind the president at this particular moment in time. We now have the tape of the candidates making their comments. Here they are.
I unequivocally support the president of the United States. No ands, ifs, and buts. And that's it. This is a time to support him. It's not a fine time to criticize, and it certainly isn't a time to try to go one up politically.
I share the feeling of all Americans at this sad moment for our country. We grieve for the loss of the 8 Americans who were killed. Our hearts and our prayers go out to their families. They died in the service of their country. We are also united as Americans in our determination to hold the Iranian government fully accountable for the safety of the hostages.
I do have this feeling, however, and I would be less than candid if I did not say that it strikes me that the timing was egregiously bad. That on Monday of this very week, we had some assurance that the foreign ministers of our Western European allies were prepared to support further sanctions, both diplomatic and economic, that they were going to wait until about the 17th of May to make that final decision. It seems to me that we were gradually beginning to achieve the kind of solidarity with our friends and allies abroad that we need to bring concerted action and pressure against Iran. Now what I'm afraid, what I'm very much afraid of, is that this is going to loosen the cement of that cooperation.
Well, Ronald Reagan, who in the past has been sharply critical of the president's handling of the Iranian crisis, commented cautiously on today's developments.
Well, this is a difficult day for all of us as Americans. Our hearts go out to the families of the brave men who were lost and to those who lie injured. We sympathize with the families of the hostages whose burden now is even greater. It's time for us as a nation and as a people to stand united. It's a day for quiet reflection. It's a moment when words should be few and confined essentially to our prayers. Because of the extremely sensitive nature of the situation, I'm convinced that it is and would be inappropriate for me to go beyond the statement I have made to you at this time. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Reagan was the last of the presidential candidates to comment on the rescue mission. Chuck?
Many members of Congress have been making their feelings known concerning this rescue attempt. Some of the more powerful members say they should have been consulted before the attempt was made. John Hambrick has more on that from Washington. John?
John, Senator Frank Church, is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is probably the most vocal critic of President Carter's decision to attempt the rescue effort so far. He's calling for a full investigation and outright accuses the president of violating the War Powers Act, an act, as you may know, that calls on the president to consult with lawmakers before introducing U.S. military forces into a situation that could result in combat. Here is some of what Mr. Church had to say about that when he was questioned by Douglas Kiker on NBC's Today program.
Chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, you were not consulted in advance in any way, and as far as you know, no other member of the committee, no other member of Congress was?
That's correct.
The War Powers Act says that the president cannot embark on military action without consulting appropriate members of Congress. Would you be an appropriate member of Congress to consult?
Of course. As a matter of fact, Senator Javits, who's the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee, and I sent a letter to the Secretary of State yesterday calling attention to Section 3 of the War Powers Act. I have that section here, and I can read the relevant language. The President in every possible instance shall consult with Congress before introducing United States armed forces into hostilities or into situations where imminent involvement in hostilities is clearly indicated by the circumstances. I think the law required the consultation, and that was the purpose of the letter.
Do you think he violated the law?
Yes, I think he disregarded this provision of the War Powers Act.
You heard Mr. Church refer to Jacob Javits, the ranking Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee, who is also a primary author of the War Powers Act. Now, he has a bit different attitude than does Mr. Church. While indicating that he, too, thinks that an explanation is needed, Mr. Javits does not think that now is the time to come down hard on Mr. Carter.
At this particular moment, when the nation recovers from the shock and disappointment of what has been learned now generally, and the disappointment over its failure, it is no time to recriminate, or no time to call to account. Right now, we have to close ranks as Americans, but emphasize the lesson which should be drawn from this by our allies, by the Soviet Union, and by the Iranians, that this is very serious business, and that the people of the United States are determined to bring out these hostages.
Javits does feel that under the regulations of the War Powers Act, the president must deal with Congress now and explain his actions within 48 hours after he launched the aborted mission. And late word from the White House is that the president does intend to do that. He will write an official explanation to Congress. Now, there is a difference of opinion on whether the president actually is in violation of the War Powers Act. Senate Republican leader Howard Baker believes that he is within his authority. So does GOP Senator John Tower. Democrat Senator Ed Muskie says that he was sure that Carter felt confident in the, quote, rightness of his decision. In fact, the Justice Department says that Carter consulted Attorney General Benjamin Cervelletti several days ago and was assured by him that he could stage the operation without telling Congress first. News Center 4's Jane Hansen, here in Washington with me, got some overall reaction to the whole affair from one New York area congressman, and of course the question of the War Powers Act was included.
The after effects of the failure of this mission are going to be disastrous?
No, I don't see that they would be disastrous. Who's going to be critical of us? The Allies haven't offered to go in and get them.
The hubbub over the War Powers Act aside, Senator Henry Jackson, who is a member of both the Senate Armed Services Committee and the Intelligence Committee, probably summed up the major feeling right now when he said, "We have entered a period of increased danger, and the next few days will be extremely critical. But the lives of the hostages do remain of uppermost concern." I think that generally expresses the feeling not only here in Washington, but no doubt throughout the country. Back to you, Chuck and Sue.
All right, John, thank you very much. I think I saw the little tiny bit of daylight in the War Powers Act that let the president move as he did. In Senator Church's reading we just heard, he said, the act said, in every possible circumstance, the president shall consult with members of Congress. The president can say this was not a possible circumstance.
Well, sure, that's why I think that a lot of people viewed it as a technicality. Mm-hmm. You know, well, on. Former Secretary of State Kissinger is in his Manhattan apartment now. We tried to join him before now. Let's join him now.
Senator Kissinger?
Yes, good evening.
Good, we have audio this time. Thank you very much. This is Chuck Scarborough. We were just discussing the War Powers Act and the ramifications of the War Powers Act. And there seemed to be the wording in there where the War Powers Act states in Section 3 that in every possible circumstance, the president shall consult with appropriate members of Congress. Is that loosely enough worded, do you think, to let the president do what he did?
I have the impression that it is loosely enough worded to let the president do what he did, provided he consults with the Congress immediately afterwards, as he obviously is planning to do.
That wasn't the intent of the law, I think, as it was written, though, consultation afterward, was it?
Well, in these situations, it is very complicated to know, and I think that the president acted correctly when so many lives were at stake, that and surprise was so much important, was so important. I would think that he acted within the spirit of the law.
Were you surprised at how closely they played that operation, what a thin, tenuous line it was when they had eight helicopters going into Iran, making a 500-mile journey, which was the absolute limit of their endurance, and counted on having to get six of the eight actually to Tehran to pull it off? Do you think that that was well planned enough?
It's hard for me to judge. I think it's cutting it awfully fine, but I haven't seen enough detail to be able to make a final judgment. The major point is that at this moment, all Americans ought to unite and convey the message to the Soviets and to the Iranians that there's a limit to our patience and that this was a symptom of what happens if the situation is protracted. I think this is more important now than having looking into the details of the operation.
Oh, well, then instead of looking back, let's look ahead a moment, Dr. Kissinger. Anwar Sadat said today that he regrets the fact that the American mission failed, but that we ought to go ahead and try it again. Do you think we should try another rescue effort?
Well, it's very hard for an outsider to say what is possible. I think we have to make clear to the Iranians that we are at the limit of our patience and that one way or the other we will insist on the release of the hostages in a brief period of time.
Thank you, Dr. Kissinger, for joining us today.
Well, Chuck, at the United Nations, Iranian diplomats denounced Mr. Carter's rescue plan. Bill Ryan is at the UN now with that report. Bill?
Yes, Sue, denounced the plan they did, denounced the mission they did. As a matter of fact, it was called Mission Impossible at one point. But there was no call for a Security Council meeting, as might have been expected in view of the action the United States took. More importantly and more immediately, the question is, what effect would the U.S. operation have on the 53 U.S. hostages in Tehran? Well, the Iranian ambassador to the United Nations addressed that issue this afternoon in a news briefing.
not going to act in nervousness, and we are not going to harm the hostages or hold the hostages responsible for this act of invasion. So our response to a blatant act of invasion is restrain and continuation of efforts to bring about a peaceful resolution to the conflict.
Are you speaking for the people who hold the hostages?
I am repeating the statement they issued just an hour ago. We just heard their statement on the radio, as well as the statements of President Banisad, Sadiq Qutbzadeh, and Imam Khomeini. But they have indicated, obviously in the same statement, that if there is a repetition of such an attempt, to the extent that the guards or the students at the embassy feel the danger, it will inevitably lead to bloodshed and danger to the hostages.
Another thing that Ambassador Fahang said was that the crisis is as much within Iran as it is between Iran and the United States. In other words, I think what he was saying, though not so bluntly, is if he went to Tehran now and said, who's in charge, either no one would answer or everybody would. Chuck?
Thank you very much, Bill.
Bill, I have a question. Other than the Iranians reacting, is there any reaction from the Middle East in general?
I found today, Sue, was from the PLO, who quite understandably described it as a criminal act, said when the President and the Secretary of Defense said it was a rescue operation, not a military operation, he said he's playing with words. That's the only one. Everybody else is very low profile, just weren't available for comment.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. The Iranian developments dominate the conversation of just about everybody tonight. Connie Collins is at Rockefeller Center to get reaction from the people there. Connie?
Sue, I've been talking to a lot of people down here. Most people think that some sort of attempt should have been made, but that it was made too late. However, you disagree. You don't think we should have tried.
I don't think we should have tried. I think it's a combination of three bads. Bad timing, bad judgment, and just plain bad luck. We shouldn't have made the attempt at this particular time. The judgment was really wrong. I don't know what kind of information the president had, but this time was just a bad time to go in. And then incredibly bad luck, the way that the entire episode failed. I really don't give it much chance, and I don't know why the president went out on a limb as far as he did at this particular time. I know if he would have made it, it would have been a tremendously successful for him politically. He would have been a national hero, but when you fail in something like this, you have to take those chances, and that's what he did, regretfully.
Thank you. Do you think that President Carter should have asked Congress before he did that?
Well, I think it's a difficult situation. This action was planned months in advance, I'm sure, and they had a schedule to maintain. If they were going to successfully complete it, they had to maintain that schedule, and going to Congress for approval takes time and possible leaks to the press. And that you can't have that type of thing in an operation like this, I don't think.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Connie Collins and friends in Rockefeller Plaza. Now back to you, Chuck and Sue.
We have more now from John Hambrick, who's in our Washington studios with Congressman Stephen Solars. John?
Thank you, Chuck. Congressman Solars is a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and just earlier in the program we were talking about the possible reaction of our allies to what has happened in Iran. How do you feel about that? What do you anticipate from our allies now?
Given all of the efforts we've been making in the last few weeks, John, to mobilize our allies in Europe and Japan behind our effort to impose sanctions against Iran, I should think that the decision on the part of the president to launch a military operation only 2 days after they agreed to impose sanctions against Iran, which if it had been successful would have obviated the necessity for sanctions in the first place, will only exacerbate the concerns which have already been expressed in Europe and Japan about the credibility and constancy and competency of our foreign policy.
How do you think those concerns might manifest themselves, Congressman?
I think it's going to become more difficult for us to exert leadership within the framework of the Western Alliance in terms of achieving a unified response to the Soviet invasion, for example, of Afghanistan. Obviously, we're still a superpower. We're still the leader of the alliance, but I think it's going to be that much more difficult for the president to be able to exert effective leadership in the effort to get a unified response from the alliance, given the extent to which we tried to get them to support us in imposing sanctions against Iran, and then 2 days after they agree to impose sanctions, we launch a military operation which, if it had been successful, would have obviated the need for sanctions in the first place?
Well, we'll be seeing, no doubt, in just the next few days, some reaction, perhaps in the next few hours, yes, from our allies. Thank you very much, Congressman.
Sure, John.
Back to you in the studio, Chuck and Sue.
All right, John, thank you, and Congressman Solon. The flags of all city buildings will fly at half-staff 8 days to honor 8 servicemen who died trying to rescue the hostages in Iran. And Roberto Chudin-Lashim visited one street where the neighbors have been very concerned.
Humboldt Street is a usually quiet street in a working-class area of Brooklyn. Most of the men who live on the street have served in at least one world war. During the first 100 days, our hostages were held in captivity. People on this street flew their flags every day. But the flags aren't flying anymore. Why? Well, partly it has to do with the weather.
Well, when the weather is bad, nobody wants to hang their flags out. But as soon as the weather is nice, all the flags go out.
But it's probably more than just that, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's more. Well, we put them out in the beginning, being that it was for the Iran, you know, for the prisoners. But now, as long as things are the way they are, it's more politics, so they're not doing it. We don't see nothing really to put it out for.
My flag doesn't come out now.
Why?
I'm very disappointed. I believe that we should have gone ahead months ago and really forced them to give in to us.
What do you think of yesterday's aborted rescue mission?
Well, I woke up this morning and I put the television on and I was shocked. I'm just sorry it didn't work.
Personally, I think we should have went in there earlier, but that's just strictly my opinion. I voice it as my own, that's all. I don't think we should have waited this long.
Do you think your neighbors agree with you?
Most of them do.
They should have gone in there. If they want to blast them, why didn't they blast them at the beginning? Instead of doing this little bit, and they went over Congress's head, didn't he? He went over Congress's head for doing that. Everybody should have known something about it. They were going to do that.
Well, I thought, you know, in a matter of like a couple of months, the most, they'd have them out of there. But now it's going into a long time now.
Good evening. This is the story of the mission that failed, the audacious attempt to rescue the hostages in Iran, which ended in defeat and in tragedy. It all began yesterday, we are told, in Egypt, when American C-130 transport planes flying over Bahrain and the Persian Gulf headed for a rendezvous point in the desert in Iran, when a flight of American helicopters left the carrier Nimitz in the Arabian Sea heading for the same rendezvous. Their mission, rescue the hostages in Tehran. The tricky part was flying the helicopters the 500 miles from the coastline to the rendezvous point. They needed an absolute minimum of 6 helicopters to rescue the hostages, and in case any broke down on the long flight, they sent 2 extra helicopters along. One of them developed electrical trouble. It was forced to peel off and head back for the carrier. Then, against all odds, another helicopter developed electrical problems and was forced to land. Its crew was rescued by another helicopter. 6 helicopters finally got to the rendezvous point safely out in the middle of the desert where the big C-130s landed. And at this point, the very worst thing happened which could have happened. One of the 6 helicopters developed trouble in its hydraulic system which could not be fixed. That was it. The remaining 5 helicopters were not enough to do the job. And in one of the most agonizing moments in American military history, the news was relayed to Washington and the decision was taken to abort the mission. They were 200 miles from the hostages, but they couldn't go on. They would have to return empty-handed. Not all of them returned. While the helicopters were being refueled for the return trip, one of them exploded. 8 men died, 4 more were burned, and a huge fireball illuminated the darkness of the night. Secrecy was broken. The decision was made to abandon the helicopters. Their crews and the injured airmen were put aboard the transport planes, which flew away, leaving behind 8 bodies, a burned helicopter, a damaged transport plane, and 5 other helicopters. The mission had ended in tragedy and failure. They had been on Iranian soil for 3 hours.